This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. Driving by myself today. That was fun last week. It is episode 105. For those of you who missed it, episode 104 was the 2-year anniversary of the podcast. And so my daughter actually joined me. And that was fun having her along for the ride. It's actually a lot more fun when I've got someone here with me. But most of the time, I'm driving home alone. So there you go. You're just stuck with me today. It's been a good week. Everything's pottering along. Actually had a really kind of interesting idea for a mobile app. And been talking to a couple of buddies about it because it's a little bigger. Well, I could do it myself, but it would take me so long that it's probably better if I find some extra help. And so a couple of my buddies and I have been visiting about it. There's no firm idea of what we're going to do yet, but, you know, some interesting things. So we'll see there. I am working on my taxes now. I am just finishing up on my little Comeback Builder mobile app, and that's all going well, but I'm kind of detoured at the moment working on my taxes. I am hopefully going to get them done this weekend so I can get back to my mobile app, get that finished, and then possibly move forward with this other little idea. So that's all going fine. Work is going fine. Veinwork stand keeps puttering along, making sales. I mean, it's nothing to shout and jump up and down about, but, you know, we just keep selling them here and there. It's fine. I keep doing Good Morning Claras. I am coming up on 3 months. So here in a couple of weeks, it will be 3 months. So pretty soon, I will have 100 episodes done on that. It goes much faster when you're actually doing one a day. The topic for today is probably a topic that I should have made some good notes on and really organized my thoughts well to inhibit the possibility that I would be completely misunderstood. But I didn't do that. I actually kind of had my whole thing planned out. I have a buddy I get together with on Thursday, and so I was going to go eat with him, and then I was going to come back to my major client, and I was going to look up all the information and write my notes, and then I was going to go home. And then I got a note from my buddy, a text that he said he had a sale he had to go to, so he couldn't meet. And so then I thought, oh, I can go home early. And so I hopped in my car, started home, and about a minute outside of my client, the Holy Spirit said, "You're supposed to be doing a podcast." And I went, "Oh, yes, yes, I am today." So then I pulled off to the side, got everything set up, started the recorder. As such, I have no notes. But I think this will be fine. Because this is something that I have thought about on and off for some time, and with the developments in the world in the last few weeks, I've been thinking about it again. Many, many episodes ago. By the way, it's sprinkling a little bit, so I've got my wipers on intermittent, so that is why you will occasionally hear a little wonk wonk. Many, many episodes ago, I did a podcast on Barack Obama winning the Nobel Peace Prize and some of the other people who were nominated for it. And I talked about the man who goes to Pakistan and the surrounding areas and builds schools. And I talked about how in the areas where he has gone in and built a school, that the violence rate has gone down. And at that point, I think I talked a little bit about the difference in approach between going and building schools and going and attempting nation building after you've bombed a country. And this week, last week, with the United States engaging once again in bombing runs on another country, I was rethinking all of this. You know, there's a very simple and basic principle that flesh breeds flesh, spirit breeds spirit. And we have a certain national policy. It doesn't matter whether it's Democrats or Republicans. We have a certain national policy that in some aspects is driven by fear and in other aspects is driven by the fact that we don't necessarily treat others as we wish to be treated. Nor do we expend our resources in ways that have lasting value. I know that we send foreign aid overseas to other countries, but many times that simply goes to the people who are in power, who then take it and squirrel it away or use it for their own pet projects. And it does not actually affect the lives of those who need it the most. And I was so inspired when I was reading about this guy going over and building schools, because he had learned the hard way to do everything right, because he was doing it on his own, and he didn't have billions of dollars to throw around. And so when he struggled and struggled and struggled to raise this money and went over to expend this money, he wanted to make sure that everything was being done right. And eventually what he learned was you don't just go up and put out in a building, you walk and walk away. You go in, you first of all get the village elders to agree that they want this to happen, and so they have to ask you for it. And then you come in and you use local help and you work with the local people and you have them help you build the school, because then they take ownership in the school. And all of those pieces are essential elements to building something that will last. And he has had great success in things lasting and in having a positive effect on his community. And in order to accomplish those things, he has had to be intimately involved in the undertakings. We, on the other hand, as a nation, tend to think that, well, if we just give people money, that should win their goodwill. And oftentimes we award money on the basis of what we perceive as their strategic value and not any true compassion for the people. It's just, what does this get us? How does this improve our security? And because of all that, it makes it very difficult for us as a nation to claim any moral high ground when it comes to suffering in the world. Because in the past, we have propped up dictators. We have supplied money and weaponry to people that we knew were not shining examples of civil rights, and we've done it simply because we thought it was in our strategic interest. On the flip side, what we have interpreted as being in our strategic interest hasn't always turned out to be in our strategic interest, because we've ended up being on the wrong side of supporting the wrong side. Let me rephrase that. We have ended up supporting the wrong side sometimes. And when people finally do revolt against tyranny, we're left with the uncomfortable position of having people saying, you supported them all these years and look what they did to us. This is not really a position that I enjoy having my country in. Now, I know there will be people who will say, well, we have to do that to protect our place in the world, or these other religious and governmental systems would just take over the world. We had to do that to staunch the flow of communism. And my philosophy is I'm not really sure that all of that really staunched the flow of communism. I mean, some people will say that it was Reagan overspending for the Star Wars initiative that is what really bankrupted the Soviet Union. But I would contend that one of the things that bankrupted the Soviet Union was the fact that they couldn't get any productivity going. Because people have no incentive in communist society, especially when what will happen happens, that even though communist society is dedicated to the proletariat and dedicated to the working class, power always corrupts, and so you have the ruling class lording it over. And people get tired of that, and while they may work under a whip, they don't work very well. And so they slow down, you don't get much productivity for them, everything just grinds and grinds and grinds and eventually grinds to a halt. And it takes then some event, something to galvanize the will of the people to say, that's it. Enough of this. Because every government exists by the will of the people. Now, some people may say, well, but like Muammar Gaddafi had all those guns, and or in China, they've got all that weaponry. And but if Gandhi showed us anything, he showed us that given the will of the people, given the determination of the people, you can overthrow any government, even one sponsored by a world-class power, as England was at the time. So while we are running around protecting our strategic influence and protecting our strategic positions with all these guns and bombs and all these things, what we really need, in my mind, to keep in mind is that until there is the will of the people to change something, it will not change. And frankly, you can't speed that up with money. So when I see us going into other countries and bombing and shooting and doing all these things, I just think, you know, flesh breeds flesh and spirit breeds spirit. I would much rather see us I would much rather see us take those billions and billions and trillions of dollars that we have spent on war. I would have much rather seen us take those and distribute them in a very conscientious, well-administrated way to small distributed groups who would go in at a grassroots level and make a real difference in people's lives, like this guy who goes and starts these schools. I would much rather see us take those trillions of dollars and set up discreet agencies that are authorized and must make reports back to go in and make microfinance loans to individuals at the grassroots level and help them get businesses started teach them how to be entrepreneurial. Because the impact, I was just watching a show on this, the impact that one entrepreneurial person who goes in and starts a little cafe, earns their own money, gets a loan for like $350, the impact that this person has on the people around them and on their family is immense. And it all gets done with a $350 loan that they then pay back. Far more is accomplished there, in my mind. Because what you will have there is a person who says, those people from America came over here and made a difference in my life. Those people from America came over here and helped us build a school. Those people in America came over here and not only helped us dig a well, but they helped us understand how to maintain it. And that well has blessed our village for all these months. See, that, in my mind, that's a much better expenditure of our money than going and dropping bombs on people. Now then, there will still be people who say, well, that's you just don't know how the world works, because we have to protect ourselves against this onslaught of radical Islam. We have to protect ourselves against the onslaught of communism. But you know, if we go back to 9/11 and we really review what happened in 9/11, the only reason that 9/11 actually occurred is because we let it occur. I'm not even going to get into the justifications that the radicalists use to justify them bombing America. Let's just take it from the point of assuming that no matter what we do, there are always going to be people who will want to bomb America. The sad fact is, and this was concluded by the National Council that investigated 9/11, the sad fact of the matter is that we let 9/11 happen because our intelligence agencies were not talking to each other. We let crucial information fall by the wayside. It should not have happened. And after it happened, then, what was our response? Was our response to say, all right, you know, we got hit there, and we got hit because we didn't do our jobs. So we're going to tighten some things up, and we're going to be more vigilant, and we're going to keep doing our humanitarian efforts around the world, real humanitarian efforts, not just giving money to petty little despots. That's going to be our approach. We're going to say, we forgive you. Instead of taking that approach, what was our approach? We went to war in Afghanistan. Afghanistan, all you have to do is read a little bit of history on Afghanistan, and you'll realize, well, that was a bad idea. Because our thought is, well, if we don't go take them out, they're going to be there forever and they're going to constantly be trying to bomb us. But what we're seeing now is in a lot of the countries that we thought those regimes were going to be there forever and ever and ever, we're seeing across the Muslim world now revolts, days of rage. Why? Because eventually those systems fall apart. And frankly, they would fall apart faster if we would go over and engage in humanitarian efforts. We don't have to try to teach them anything about our ideology at all. All we have to do is go over and build schools and build hospitals, be kind and generous, and the people at the grassroots level will start to think, wow, this is different than what we live under. I'm getting my mail. and that will begin to bubble up. What happens when we go over and bomb people is that we give the radicalists many more excuses and many more ways to recruit people. Now, I don't expect this to change anytime soon. We're going to just keep doing what we're doing, but what I would like to suggest that we think about is if at the very least we just used our military to protect ourselves and protect our borders, and then we took all these billions and trillions of dollars that we're spending to wage these wars and funnel it into something more productive, like humanitarian efforts, I think we would do a whole lot better for our dollar than we've been doing. And I know that the effort right now in Libya has supposedly been handed over to NATO, and we're supposedly just helping out over there. And I know that the justification for the effort in Libya was that civilians were going to be slaughtered. And I don't want this to sound cruel or heartless, but one of the things we also have to consider is that sometimes a populace needs a galvanizing event to cause them to say enough, and to cause even those on the side of the dictator to say enough. And by stepping in and short-circuiting that, we may have ensured that there will be a stalemate in Libya or a victory for the dictator. Whereas, if we had left it for the people of Libya to decide. And I know someone's going to say, well, but they didn't have any arms and they were just getting slaughtered. And they were, yeah. But we don't know how long that slaughter would have continued before Gaddafi's own military people would have said enough. You just never know all the dynamics that are at work. And for me, how you make that decision is you come back to the simple principles like flesh breeds flesh and spirit breeds spirit. That you just don't go over and bomb people. Because that is going to engender more flesh response. But, like I said, I don't expect this to change anytime soon because we have a certain way in this country, whether it's Republicans or Democrats, of dealing with the world. And we think that if we throw enough money around the world and if we bomb enough people, that we'll be safe. And unfortunately, I don't think that's true at all. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.